We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, this is Dirk Nowitzki, and you're listening to the Mavs Step Back podcast.
Let me step back for a minute, tired of the gimmicks. See, we just focused on winning. Ball in the airline center, we about to get litty. Luka carrying a torch, Borden jumped up on the porch. How you reckon with his force? Third season in the game, and he a legend by his fourth. Look, after Dirk, now the king of Dallas. Airline serving as the palace. Young team, and it's full of talent. Want revenge, we accept the challenge. Luka carrying a legacy. What it take to be an MVP? Being great, know it cost a fee. Know it really ain't that hard to see. Hold on, wait, silence the critics, cause they never did it. Pass out Jordan, I ain't woke up the city. Map shooting hot like we straight out the chimney. Go back to Batman, I'm calling them Drizzy. Mo triple doubles, I'm waiting on 50. Step back smoother, you know it's so filthy. If I get down on my team, gonna lift me. Rep the map, step back, overcame the setbacks. Starting where we left at, know we gotta get back. Know we gotta get back. Rep the map, step back, overcame the setbacks. Starting where we left at, know we gotta get back. Like, know we gotta get back. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Mavs Step Back Podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. This is another edition of Upgrading the Mavericks. And instead of it, you know, focusing on other players, you know, who the Mavs could trade for or sign, this one is mainly focused on Kristaps Porzingis. Because, you know, the Mavs, they have a situation where you have a guy, he's 25 years old. On paper, you know, he had his most efficient season that he's had in his career last year. But, you know, he has health issues. His defensive abilities were just completely non-existent last year. To put it, I guess that's putting it nicely. He was very frustrating on the defensive end of the court. I don't know what they do with KP from here. It's nice that KP is going into this offseason, or he's already in this offseason, and he went into it healthy for once. That's like never happened in his career. So if you're looking for a bright side, like if his trade value is just so bad that they can't trade him while upgrading the roster, and they do keep him, it's like, okay, well, maybe since he's had a full offseason to work on his game and to work on his strength instead of having to rehab, for once, maybe that can make a difference. Maybe Rick Carlisle not being with the Mavs anymore, maybe that makes a difference, you know, with how Rick wanted to use him. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I just know that that they have a lot of questions this summer. I don't know. I'm going to try and, like, I'm going to talk about a few trade destinations and a few situations to where, you know, if the Mavs convince certain free agents to sign with them, there could be some sign and trade opportunities based on which teams have had interest in KP in the past. But for the most part, I think it's just going to be very hard for them to trade KP at this point. Now, if he comes back and starts the season, he's in excellent shape and he's worked on his game and he looks, you know, really good and builds his trade value back up, Some people have said, well, then you don't want to trade him. Well, I mean, I can see that too, but if he builds his trade value up to where you could get in on a Zach LaVine situation, or if the Wizards finally decide to pull the plug on Bradley Beal and KP's looking like a semi-star player again, maybe you can get into something like that if KP shows that he does have, you know, that kind of potential and value again. Right now, though, it's just – it's not looking great. So I'm trying to just accept that KP's going to start the season with the Mavs and just hope that, you know, having this long off season and having a new head coach with, you know, a different strategy, a different way of using him, hopefully, and maybe Luka – him and Luka can mesh a little bit better like they did the year before last and not this season. But I think it all starts with seeing if KP is able to get back his lateral movement, his athleticism on the defensive end, because he just looked completely lost on that end last season and in the playoffs. So, all right. Like I said, Matt is not able to join me today, but I have my guy Grant here, colleague at DallasBasketball.com, and just recently got verified on Twitter. Congrats, man.
Yeah, thank you. 50 attempts later, I finally got it.
Yeah. Well, it was long overdue, man. I mean, you put in a ton of work, and you definitely deserve it. But, yeah, just branching off of what I've talked about so far, I mean, where are you at with KP? Because, like I said, I'm not sure the Mavs can trade him right now. I mean, they can. But I think it's a situation where they'd have to, you know, lose a trade pretty badly to trade him right now. I think it's more realistic that they start the season with him and try to build that value up a little bit.
I agree. I think really the main thing is, like, with KP, concerning the trade value, unless you have something lined up where it's a salary dump and you know for a fact you got commitments in free agency for players that are genuinely worth the salary dump, then that's pretty much like the exception. Or someone just truly believes they can buy low on him, but not too low to where you're like thinking, you know, this is just too bad of a deal for me to take. I think trying to rehabilitate his value would probably be the best case scenario all around, considering like there'll likely be a renewed mindset with a coaching change, going into the offseason healthy, as you said. And, you know, like, to be quite honest about it too, like, the weaknesses that he had were, like, uniquely magnified by the Clippers and small ball. Like, he's a genuinely helpful player. Like, he's not perfect, and there's weaknesses. Like, I know I harped on a lot of those, like, weaknesses that got magnified in that series, like, on, you know, like, on Twitter and in articles. But, like, I just feel like his movement in the offseason, if he can work on that and recover it to previous levels, you know, like that will definitely be a necessity. But also, you know, improving against those switches, if he can do that, like with his post-ups, that execution was poor in the playoffs, and that's going to need to change if he's going to be a co-star. Like, he can be a helpful player, but if he wants to be a number two co-star, those are the two areas he's absolutely going to have to improve for sure.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think it kind of falls under the same category as what I've been talking about, you know, the last month or so about I've been calling it the talent totem pole for the Mavericks. And I've said that everybody on that totem pole just needs to, you know, probably come down a notch from where they're at. And I feel like KP is probably in that same boat. I know they initially wanted him to be a number two, but I think he's probably best utilized as a number three. So if the Mavs, like, say our pipe dream from last week about Kawhi Leonard, and, you know, Kevin O'Connor came out and said if he was going to leave the Clippers that the Mavs are considered the favorites to land him, which, you know, you got to take all that with a grain of salt. But say that did happen, and, you know, the Mavs, if they renounce Tim Hardaway Jr.'s rights, and especially if Josh Richardson opts out and renounce J.J. Redick, all that stuff, there's a way to, you know, to where you could sign Kawhi Leonard and still keep KP. You don't have to trade KP to do that. So if you're in a situation where they do something like that, then I think you've really got something there, especially considering that KP is healthy right now and he's had a full off season to work on his game instead of focusing on rehabbing and then starting the season playing catch up. So I feel like if you put KP in that third star role, or, you know, not even star, but just like third best player on the roster, I think that helps a lot. And I see Nick in the chat down there. He said, I'd love to get him in a – oh, wait. He's not talking about KP. He said – everybody's talking about Lonzo Ball and saying, love to get him in a good starting center. Yeah, I agree with that too. I don't know how we got off on the Lonzo Ball thing there. But, but yeah, I'd love to add Lonzo Ball and, like, say a guy like Rashawn Holmes. But the thing with that, I saw somebody put that scenario out there on Twitter earlier today. I feel like if you're gonna try and get Rashawn Holmes, you have to do something different at the four. Like, you definitely have to try and sign and trade KP and upgrade at the four to have somebody better defensively, because this current version of KP plus Holmes defensively would be a disaster, in my opinion.
Yeah, I completely agree, because you can't have that lack of foot speed paired up together with how small everyone's gearing their lineup to being, for sure.
Yeah. And look, I mentioned it earlier, Grant, but if you look back, and obviously things can change over the course of 2 full years, but or 2.5 years now, but if you look back around when it was before KP got traded and there were rumors that came out that, you know, the Spurs were very interested in trying to trade for KP, and the Raptors, I think it was the Raptors and the Heat. Those were the three teams where it was rumored that they had interest in KP. And that can change, obviously, but I'm looking at it now and I'm thinking, you know, given what it's rumored that DeMar DeRozan could command for a contract on this year's unrestricted free agency market, like, would the Spurs be interested in KP at this point? Like, if you signed DeMar DeRozan, could there be a sign and trade opportunity there? Or, like, you look with Miami, they have a team option for Dragic. They could accept that, exercise that team option and use him in a sign and trade. With a couple other pieces added. I mean, ideally, and Ethan said it in the chat here too, don't trade KP in the division. I really don't even want to trade KP inside the conference. You know, when all that Golden State Warriors rumors came out around the trade deadline, I was like, you know, I mean, depending on what they send back, maybe it would be okay, but I would just rather send him east. You know, Miami, there's rumors about the Wizards that they've been monitoring his availability, and they've been monitoring the situation, seeing what they can do there. Obviously, that wouldn't be a Beal situation, though. They're probably trying to offload Davis Bertans and something else. But, I mean, what do you think about the potential of a sign-and-trade opportunity? Let's start with the San Antonio DeRozan thing. Do you feel the same way about trading KP in division or in conference?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I think it depends on who the landing spot would be because, for example, like if it was to be the New Orleans Pelicans, I definitely wouldn't want to give Zion like the spacing for sure. Like,
yeah.
I think like that would just be a nightmare. I feel like if it panned out and everything, like for the Spurs, I feel like it's kind of tricky because you know they need a lot more shooting to add into the mix with how low they ranked in all those categories, and I feel like that would help them. But if they're losing DeRozan, there's not a whole lot of firepower. I feel like they're going to be in a position where it's tough to get like the main number one star with you know how they kind of pride themselves on remaining competitive, and those young players are going to continue to get better. So they'll probably be out of reach of one of those types of players unless they just absolutely hit on a draft pick. So I wouldn't really personally be overly worried about the Spurs, especially if you know you're getting a player that fits a need that you really need to resolve, and there's not a whole lot of means to do it. Like if you can replace like in the role player spots around DeMar and Luka, I think that's worth considering. But yeah, like unless it was like some team where you're like, I don't want to give Zion spacing, I think I'd be all right with it.
Yeah, and I mean, again, the unknown of it is what makes it hard because, like I said earlier, on paper, you still have a guy, you still have KP, he's 25 years old. Other than that very unfortunate contact meniscus injury in the playoffs last year, you know, that's really the only issues he's had. From injury standpoint since he's been in Dallas. So if he can get back to where he was before that meniscus injury, because last offseason he was rehabbing. The offseason before that he was rehabbing the ACL injury that he suffered in New York. So if he can just get back to where he was at, then it's like, okay, you really have something here because he's shown what he can do offensively. It's the defensive side of the ball where the biggest question is. And he has to – it's not really just that either. It's also how he wants to play the game because I think if he could commit to playing more of a team style of basketball instead of wanting to do the ISO thing, I feel like that's something he picked up from Carmelo Anthony in New York and he just never let go of because far too often – you know, does he have the ball in a situation where he could easily take advantage of a smaller player and he just decides to fade away being heavily contested when he could, you know, all it would take is a couple of steps towards the basket and he's got an easy layup. So I think he's got to tweak the way he plays the game too. If you listen to his exit interviews, and I get it, guys say stuff and you have to take everything with a grain of salt, but I genuinely believed KP when he said in his exit interviews that he realized that he needed to get better. He needed to tweak his own game. I think he realizes that. And I think a lot of people realize, too, like, yeah, KP was kind of frustrating this last season, but the efficiency was there. And like you said, Grant, the Clipper series specifically, just, you know, it put a much bigger spotlight on KP's the disadvantages of having KP. So it was a bad matchup. I fully believe that if they had found a way to knock out the Clippers in the first round, KP would have had a much better series in the second round versus Utah with Gobert. Because, I mean, look, I said it before too, the Clippers, they can take Zubac out of the series. You know, they can just bench him and go small, and it's not that big of a deal because Zubac is – you know, just a role player. He's a starter, but he's mainly just a role player. But Utah would not have been able to do that with Gobert.
Especially when you saw with what Terrence Mann managed to do. Like, they made the bet, like, we're paying so much for this rim protection, we're not going to give it up, and you're going to have to make us lose. And that, yeah, I completely agree. I think in other matchups as well in the playoff run, like John Morant, like they conceded the floater to him over and over again, and he put up like historic scoring numbers for like a player of his age due to that reason. Like, I think that that absolutely would have been a far more favorable series for KP.
Yeah, and I mean, really, I mean, for Luka too, because I mean, if Luka's doing what he's doing against Kawhi, PG, and the Clippers, you have to imagine going up against Utah. They don't have any guy who can even, you know, think of stopping Luka. He might average 45 for the series, but yeah, I mean, look, overall, like I said, I'm trying to be a little more optimistic about KP, because I think unless they get in a situation to where they convince a guy to sign with them in free agency and the team that's losing whoever they end up signing is like, okay, well, maybe we want to get something instead of just losing this guy for nothing. Maybe they take a chance on KP. I think that's the only kind of situation we're going to have where KP wouldn't be on the Mavs to start next season. But I don't know. We'll see how it goes. The new regime, having Nico Harrison and Jason Kidd as a part of the new front office, two guys who are player friendly. And, you know, Nico Harrison, there's been some questions about, you know, well, is this just mainly about his connections, or will he really know how to run a front office? Well, we're not far away from finding out. We're about, let's see, we're a little less than 4 weeks away from free agency, and the draft starts a week before that. The draft is like 2.5 weeks away, and that's when you really start seeing some trade activity. So we're going to find out here pretty quick. But while I got you here, Grant, it's been a while since we had you back on here, but what are your initial thoughts on the Harrison and Kidd hires? I mean, are you pretty optimistic about the change, or what are your reservations there, if you have any?
I think from a front office standpoint with Harrison, I think it's an intriguing gamble to take, considering the struggles they've had with recruiting players and all that good stuff. I think if there's a way to overcome those struggles, it's probably with an out-of-the-box idea. And, you know, whether it works or not, you know, remains to be seen. But I think just early indications from just, like, you know, being linked to a guy like Kawhi, like, you know, it's not saying that he's going to come or anything, or it's even likely or probable or whatever you want to say, but just the fact that there's relationships established with players goes a long way. And I think for Jason Kidd, you know, I'm not intrigued with his coaching, like, execution in the last two stops that he had, but, you know, I think it's always important to have an open mind about, you know, when a coach switches teams, because, for example, like, I used to cover the Pacers and Nate McMillan, there was legitimate concerns with how he approached, like, player management in the locker rooms, like, relationship building on the court, like the half court offense. It took a little while to modernize and all that good stuff. But I think he truly learned a lot from that experience and going to a team like the Hawks, who had better fitting pieces for, you know, the lessons that he learned, and he could apply it, and he showed that he's improved as a coach. Like, I think it's tough to really make declarations until we really see what, you know, either of those guys will end up doing. But there's reason for optimism if you just kind of look around the league, for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, Grant, I don't know if you know this yet, but, you know, I live in South Mississippi, and I'm only about an hour and a half away from New Orleans. I do come out to Dallas to cover games every now and then, and just to go to games, but I go down to New Orleans every chance I get when the Mavs are playing the Pelicans. And I remember when Monty Williams wasn't viewed as a good head coach. You know, he was down there, and he would do he had some good things he did, but for the most part, you know, people down here just killed him. I mean, they wanted him out. They didn't think there was, you know, anything he could bring to the table as a head coach. And he was good with players and everything, but they were just like, man, this guy just can't coach. And here we are years later, and he's up 1-0 in the NBA Finals with the Phoenix Suns. So I do think there is something to be said about guys who haven't had much head coaching success in the past, but, you know, they keep staying the course, and they learn and they progress. And, you know, it just depends on the situation more than anything else. So, yeah, Jason Kidd, he's had some, you know, really rough head coaching stops with the Milwaukee Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets. But from all accounts, at least me personally, from what I've heard from people, these last couple of years where he was an assistant in with the Los Angeles Lakers, it seems that he's learned a lot. It seems that he's grown a lot. And everybody says that he has earned, you know, one more shot to try and be a head coach. Now, if everything blows up and it goes like it did with him in Milwaukee or Brooklyn, this time around, it's going to be hard to ever see him getting another shot at being a head coach in the league. So I did, to a certain extent, Grant, I do think this is his last chance to make it work. But when you have a player like Luka Doncic on your team, I think it's safe to say that your team's going to win a bunch of basketball games regardless of, you know, your X's and O's. So we will see how it goes, but I'm like you. I'm optimistic about it. And even if he's not the greatest X's and O's guy for the next 3 or 4 years or however long he stays with the Mavs, if his relationships, like with Nico Harrison, if those two guys, the combination of connections they have, if it's able to bring a lot more high talent to Dallas, then it was worth it. So I think in the grand scheme of things, you have Luka Doncic. If you can get more talent around him, you're golden. Because we saw, even with this limited Mavs roster this year, they were still very close to beating the Clippers and could have likely been in the Western Conference Finals. I think it would have ended when they eventually faced the Phoenix Suns, but you could see a path there for them if they had found a way to hold on and win that series against the Clippers. But Grant, I appreciate you joining me today because, like I said, Matt, he's got so much going on. It seems like Matt has like 10 different sites he's writing for these days, and
for sure,
he just started. He's doing a bunch of college football stuff, like with the Longhorns and for the Aggies, and he's thinking about starting like a Longhorns podcast now. So, man, he's stretched out a long way with all that stuff. But hey, he's bringing it in. He's got to do what he's got to do.
For sure.
But I appreciate it, man. We'll have to do this again sometime.
Yeah, no doubt. I always love coming on. It's I always enjoy listening too. I'm always in the room hearing you guys talk about you know, everything Mavs. It's always a great listen for sure.
Yeah, we get a little crazy during the off season. It's a lot of pipe dreamish stuff. But hey, you know, we're in uncharted waters. The Mavs have never the Mavs have never really gone big whale hunting while having a 22-year-old megastar who's been an All-NBA first teamer for two straight years. So you got that going for you. You got the new front office. You know, let's go. Let's see what happens.
No doubt. Definitely unique territory for sure.
Well, guys, look, that's going to do it for another episode of the Mavs Step Back podcast. Appreciate y'all coming in and listening to us today. And be sure to go like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, go leave us a review. We've been giving out some T-shirts here lately. Just leave your Twitter at or your Instagram at or Facebook, whatever social media you're on. Just put a way for us to get in contact with you. So if you do win a T-shirt, we can get one out to you. We appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a great rest of your week and a great weekend. We'll see you next time.
Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute.